Saffron? Saffron, wake up. Saffron.
What?
We got to do the show, man.
What show?
Episode 7, Life in Hex. Hello and welcome to episode 7 of Life in Hex. I'm Gelada.
And I'm the Sleepy Saffron.
And we've got some cool, I've got to say it.
Oh dear.
We've got some cool stuff on for you today.
Stuff, yes, yes. Very
articulate.
Maybe
that could be like our slogan. Life in Hex, we've got some cool stuff.
We speak a very articulate language of English and yep. Yet you use the word stuff all the time.
Yeah. Okay. We got a bit of housekeeping first. No emails, unfortunately.
No, no emails.
But some housekeeping. You do this bit of little bit of housekeeping. Yeah, move my DS. That's a good idea.
Yeah, it was just I'm making it too hard to say. Okay. First, a little bit of housekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
Ardemoni has been a success, really.
It has.
No problems at all.
It has been a huge success.
So that's all good stuff. We thought you'd just like to know that.
Yeah, our statistics are all working well.
If
we'd done this all on Dusty Dreams, we would have gone over my limit.
By now, way easily.
But twice fault.
How much have we used so far?
Something like 3.5 gig, 4 gig.
Yeah, and we would have, so
that would have been well over the limit.
So it's good that we got our domain for this.
Yeah,
it's all
that's
good.
Pretty cool. We did actually get an email, kind of.
Well,
Of. We got an automatic email from Apple, as
iTunes.
They do.
iTunes.
Yeah. Basically, just to let you know, we've updated our RSS feed because they updated their technical specification. We're like, we'll follow that.
Yeah, whatever.
So we sort of rewrote the RSS feed a bit, and it's all nice and organized and laid out, and so we hope it's organized and laid out for you on iTunes for
we
any
hope.
Listeners on iTunes.
We hope.
I listen to it on iTunes.
I listen.
Well,
to
I
on
don't
iTunes.
Listen to the show like back.
Do you not?
No, because I've already listened to it when I edit it. So.
Oh yeah, true. But I'm sad, and I've listened to. In fact, the other night I listened to episode like 6. So.
Oh well, that was the last episode.
5 and 4.
That's better.
3 and 2 and 1 and 0 and yeah.
Go on.
Anyway, moving swiftly on. Last little bit of housekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget to email us, because like we're always looking forward to emails, even though we don't get many emails at the moment.
And should we tell them the email address this time?
We kind of noticed this, actually. We were going through the previous podcast, and even though we say email us all the time, we don't actually tell you the email address.
And
so.
Especially for those listening on DDP Hack Radio who might not actually visit the site.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Might not know,
so you might not even know the site itself.
So you can email us.
So email us at show@lifeinhex.com. Couldn't
yep.
be simpler.
It couldn't be simpler. Yeah, so email us.
Yeah, just email us,
we
tell
enjoy
what you
a good,
think.
A good read.
Just email us some random stuff, email us a story you want us to talk about, mm-hmm. email comments, whatever. Just email us.
We got a bit of a live section.
A bit of a live
mixed
section.
Mixed in with a bit of an anime section.
Yes, yes, an anime section, because I'm a bit of an anime fan, as
so
mentioned.
I'll start off. I haven't really got any lifey life stuff, but I'm going to just put a quick tech thing in that my project for this year, I have decided, is to get myself a RAID 5 file server.
Just basically explain quickly what RAID is. Okay.
Well, basically, RAID stands for Redundant Array of Inexpensive Disks.
Yep.
A RAID 5 is like it's a really popular version of RAID. There's like RAID 0, 1, 2, 3, 4,
so
5,
on, yeah.
1.5, 6,
yeah, yeah,
7, 8.
Yeah, we get the picture.
0 plus 1.
Shut up.
Yeah. and it basically, instead of just having, say, 500 gig in 2 hard drives, you have 500 gig over 3 hard drives.
Yeah.
And one of your hard drives becomes the redundant bit. And if one of your hard drives fails, the other one goes, ooh, it's failed. I'm going to kick in. And it goes churn, churn, churn. And all of a sudden, well, you don't even notice that a hard drive's failed. And
your
data is all still there. It just
yeah.
stays there. And this has actually been compounded by the fact that my server died yesterday. Well, the hard drive died again. So I keep using old hard drives, so I'm going to buy myself some new hard drives.
Yeah.
But it's going to cost me £300 or so,
yeah.
which is like
$500-$600.
Yeah, $500-$600.
A bit of money. So it's got to be a project.
It's
really.
Going to be a project overall for the next,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
up sometime beginning of summer, maybe, if not earlier, if I can get the money, that sort of thing.
Yep. Is that really all that is about it?
That is about it, really, for that file server. It should be cool.
Oh, come on, it's going to be cool. I mean, what was that thing we looked at where you found about how long these hard drives last?
Yeah, their mean time between failure is like 1,000,000 hours, which literally means that it will last for like 150 years or something.
So, you know, we'll
it's
be dead
true.
And it'll still be
it
running.
It doesn't actually work like that, but you know.
I'm sure it doesn't. But, you know, it's still going to last a long time.
Yeah,
it'll last our lives.
I'm getting some Western Digital Caviar drives.
Okay.
That's the ones I'm going to be getting. They're not actually SATA drives, which, you know, is the fairly new hard drive type.
Yeah.
I'll still be going on IDE because
yeah.
it's going to
oh, well.
It will cost me even more, it'll cost me ridiculous amounts of money to go SATA. Yeah, it's going to be an extra £20 on all the drives, plus an extra £30 to buy two SATA controllers, because I haven't got any spare computers that support SATA. So, kind of sucky, but nevertheless,
it's still going to be a working server, which we can both use.
I mean, come on, it's going to be bottlenecked by the fact that the network only runs at 100 megabits.
Exactly, so.
And couple that over, like,
you probably, if you installed SATA, you probably wouldn't even notice the difference.
Probably not, really. So, apart from the larger dent in my wallet.
Yes, exactly. Which always sucks, surprisingly.
Surprisingly, not having money sucks.
Really? Yes, it does.
You
anyway.
Just never knew.
So that's just... Is that what really is going on in your life?
You make it sound like I'm some sad ass who just thinks
about... What do you mean makes you seem like? Sorry.
Git.
Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, quickly.
This is what, you know, you said about at the beginning of the live section. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do a bit of an anime thingy. Yeah, I mean, I've gotten into a couple of cool animes recently, a couple of cool mangas, and I thought I'd just talk about them basically because, like, you're not really into anime and manga much, are you?
Not particularly. I mean, I've read a bit of Suikoden. It's kind of cool, but I just prefer real books, you know?
Thanks. Well, it's not... Okay, I guess manga isn't really a book, though.
I'll just jump out of the window, shall I?
No, manga's not a book. It's a comic, you know?
It's a book.
It's a graphical novel.
Yeah, it's a graphical novel. I mean, they're really cool. I don't doubt that they are really cool. They're really popular, but they're just not for me.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm not going to, like, kill you this time.
just this once. You're going to spare my life.
Now, first of all, because he's been... We wouldn't shut up about it. Yes, he has been a bit of a git, and God knows why I'm doing this for him. But plugs to Yamara. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We mentioned it before as James. We did actually say his real name.
Okay, so
screw you,
James. We're going to call you James. We won't say his second name, though, just in case he gets beaten up. But anyway.
Moving swiftly
on.
My God.
James found this series for me. He was kind of like browsing on the internet and just found it.
On the global interweb.
On the global interweb, yes. And it's called Ichigo 100%. And if you just want to check this out while we're talking about it, say, go to tinyurl.com, D9AWB. That's tinyurl.com, D9AWB. Basically, it's what's known as a rom-com, so a romantic comedy thing. And it's also what's known as a shuen.
Isn't that shuenen?
Shuen. Don't really answer to it. Pronounce it, to be honest. But basically, it means it's a boys' manga. It's for boys. Mm-hmm. It's targeted to boys.
Ah, I see. That's kind of obvious from the front cover.
Yeah.
Have you seen
the front cover?
No, I just saw it on the website that you were ranting on about.
Yeah.
You don't really need a whole genre to tell you what it is.
It's about this guy called Mannequin Junpei, who starts off in the manga and the anime at the end of his middle school.
Ooh.
Which is he's with his friends, and they're all hanging out and everything, and basically it's about him and his progression through his kind of life in school. But unlike most boys, he's very lucky with the ladies, even though he really wouldn't think about it, and he gets like four or five girls hanging off him all the time, vying for his attention. It's very much what's known as the...
No wonder James likes it.
Yeah, exactly. It's very much what's known as the harem anime series over in Japan. That was really launched with the Tenchi Muyo series.
Oh, right.
That's quite an old series now. Mm. But it's like one guy, several girls. It's very popular with like boys.
You mentioned that on the previous episode, actually. You mentioned some harem of some sort.
Yeah, I mean, I did the Ninigima.
That's the one, yeah.
And that's very much the same. Mm. It's very popular over in Japan, and I think it's quite cool. But it's got like three, four main girls who are vying for his attention, and it's pretty cool. Basically, it's like he's trying to decide who he likes more out of all four of them, and he keeps getting into situations which like make it even harder for him to choose. The manga and anime both are really high in quality. I think the manga is a really nice looking manga. It's got it's clear cut lines, but at the same time it isn't too confusing. But it's not cheaply done. It's a really nicely looking manga. It's a very understandable, because you get some manga which are so high in detail, so to speak, you know, the artists have taken so long over making the drawings,
and it's just like line drawing essentially, isn't it?
That's all it is, just draw line drawing, but it's taking so long it's sometimes actually hard to see what's going on,
there's so much detail,
because there's
is
so much
just,
going on,
it is just line drawing,
exactly,
so over
if your eyes can't interpret what's going on properly, like the artists has, or obviously
yeah,
you just can't see what's going on properly. But then you get the opposite effect of like it's just very basic stuff where it's just outlines of the characters, yeah, and that's it. But I think Ichigo 100% does a really good job of like getting the right amount of each in. So it makes it look really good. And The anime's quality, the anime version of it, even the anime itself kind of sucks because it's only 12 episodes long and it's kind of, it's not very good. The animation quality is quite nice. The voice acting is quite good. The songs, the opening ending songs are hilarious. And yeah, it's quite good. Overall, for the anime, I give it a 7 out of 10. Because the story is quite crappy compared to the manga, but that's always the case. I mean, I barely know any series where the manga anime is better than the manga.
Right.
But the manga itself, I gave that a 9 out of 10 because I really like it. One of my current favourites. So yeah, that's basically that about. Go and check it out. The
tiny URL that you mentioned. Of course, mentioned. All tiny URLs and all links will be on the
website
at www.lifeinhex.com.
Yeah, and if you're a fan of Ichigo 100%, or you want to talk about it or ask some questions about it, email us.
Yeah, email us.
show@lifeinhex.com.
If you have a manga that you've that they've read that maybe they'd like you to discuss or like you to review, then
email us at show@lifeinhex.com.
And if you generally just want to hear that email address again, then
it's show@lifeinhex.com. But and then just before we wrap up the little anime section, I wanted to mention some other animes I've been watching.
Mm-hmm.
Two of my favourite animes, not mangas, animes of all time are One Piece and Bleach. One Piece is about pirates and Bleach is about soul reaping, killing souls and everything. It's really good, so both check it out. But the latest episodes have just been released. Very good stuff.
Cool.
I was actually getting quite annoyed with the subbing group on the internet who sub the latest One Piece episodes because they've taken ages, but then they released two episodes at once, so I was like, oh my god, you're godly, and let them off.
Cool.
And latest Bleach ending is very fucked up.
Really?
I will show you a picture of it later.
Okay.
Because it's quite strange. So is the song. So yeah, that's a bit for the anime section. And if you want us to talk about more anime, if you like the anime section,
yeah,
email us. Well, yeah, I won't say the address again because I kind of overdone that joke now. Mm. But you know, just email us, see if you like the anime section and want to do some more.
Do you think they've got the hint?
Moving on
indeed.
So our gaming section?
Yeah, we've only got a fairly short gaming section this week because, you know, we got a fairly large tech section later on.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
We just got a couple of first impressions of a couple of games and a tiny bit of news about Nintendo, as we always do.
First impression. Mm-hmm. First game we got first impressions on is your Winteremus game.
It's my Winteremus game.
We should have mentioned Winteremus.
Well, this is sort of... Yeah, I think I put this on the blog that...
Yeah, you did. You have blogged about it, but some people who listen to podcasts...
No,
might
not,
know
not blog. Just that, but... yesterday I blogged that about today's episode.
Oh, okay. Oh, did you? I didn't actually see that.
And I mentioned that we may actually be doing a special on the Winteremus weekend, which is the 27th.
It is indeed.
Obviously that won't be released until the Tuesday after that. So you may actually be getting 3 doses in a row of Life in Hex.
Yes, indeedy.
Because you'll be getting this one on Tuesday, and then next Tuesday we'll be getting another, and then the Tuesday after that you'll be getting yet another.
The normal episode, yeah.
So that should be quite cool. It won't be a long episode. It'll just be a short episode, you know, hey, this
10,
is,
20
this
minutes
is,
max.
Yeah, this is us on Winteremus, just talking about what we're doing.
Because we're going to be doing a Winteremus special gaming session over the weekend, so.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, Battlefield 2 Special Forces was my Winteremus game to myself and treat for finishing exams.
Yeah,
and
exams
stuff, so.
And everything like that. So,
but you've played it more than me.
I've played it more than you because you've been helping me with my Gentle Fire.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Gerard's helping me make a Gentle Fire like his.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been playing that for a while. It's quite cool. As you noticed as well as me, the textures have been improved.
Yeah, the textures have been improved. I don't think I actually read that anywhere in reviews, but I swear...
It looks either that or it's just your new computer and we haven't really paid much attention to it on Battlefield 2 at the moment or something. But they look nice at least. And there's no reason why they wouldn't be improved, really.
Mm.
Obviously, the core idea is Battlefield Special Forces is the kind of more covert ops, so to speak, of things instead of like an open battlefield. So now you've got kind of like special forces like the Navy SEALs, the British SAS, the Russian Spetsnaz, etc. And they've all got kind of like cool new gadgets. Not gadgets, but, you know,
tools
play with.
Yeah.
You know, if you're the assault of the anti-tank or the special forces or the snipers, you can use like special grappling hooks and zip wires, etc.
It's just an expansion pack to BF2.
That's all it is, really. I mean, what's a shame is that the normal maps, like, you know, the Gulf of Oman, Attack on Karkand, etc., they don't get the new stuff in BF2, which in Special Forces, rather, which would be cool.
It would.
But that kind of divide the gaming of, on the internet too much, I think, maybe.
Yeah, the other, yeah, because the problem with that is that, you know, normal BF2 servers won't be able to have people with special forces on. You know, it would be kind of...
I can understand why they've done it, but at the same time, it's a shame they haven't done it. So I can understand the pros and cons for it. But it would have been cool.
One of the things that I think is quite cool is that I was a bit apprehensive about it. I was thinking, how can... You know, I've played BF2 quite a bit. It's very... Despite what you think that you could have, like, squad-based action and all of this, which you can have, most of the time it's just generally going to a point, trying to capture it as fast as you can, shooting people along the way, trying to hide, etc., etc. But so I was a bit apprehensive that Special Forces was just going to be one big gimmick, and it's not actually going to be effective at all. Like, the night vision and that isn't going to be effective.
But
actually, just from the first impressions, maybe it'll change, but... Just from the first impressions, the night vision, certainly on that level where you could snipe across the river.
Yes,
know,
it was the
see.
That was the Russian and the U.S. Navy SEALs versus the MEC Special Forces. They were trying to take the nuclear missiles submarines. But you were right, because you were hiding in that dark area, weren't you?
And they really genuinely couldn't
they
see.
They just weren't shooting back at you once, because they never knew where, even with their night vision.
And then
when I
spawned over there, you wouldn't genuine. You genuinely would not.
You were
notice.
Looking and you couldn't see, but you got killed.
Exactly. So it's very. It does actually work. So, but
the gimmicky things that they added, like the grappling hook and the zip wire, they are generally really useful, aren't they? We haven't played it all yet. We can't really give it a proper review of it. It's just our first impressions, but
it's certainly it's cool. So
it's worth. It was worth the buy. How much was it?
It was like £15 or something.
That's all right.
It wasn't a lot of money for an expansion
it's
pack.
Fine.
So it was cool.
Yep.
So that's our just little first impressions of that. We also. You may or may not know that the Star Wars Empire at War demo was released a couple of days ago.
18th.
On the 18th. The Star Wars Empire at War demo was released.
I can't believe you didn't know about
that. I can't believe it either, because this is one of my most anticipated games of this year, along with Sport.
Well, now, maybe not so much.
But when I was first looking at it, if you go onto IGN as well, they're like most anticipated games of 2006.
Yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
One of them is like Star Wars Empire at War. But
don't get me wrong, it's a good game.
It's a good game, but... playing the demo, is very short.
Very short.
I mean, it really is just a case of, you know, this is possibly what we can do.
Yeah.
You know, I noticed on Dig there was someone like 2 days after the demo's been released, someone's hacked it and changed all the settings so that you can enable the stuff. Because it's almost like the demo actually, it's 1.5 gigabytes.
It's massive. For a demo, it's huge, isn't it?
And apparently, according to this little hacky thing, go on to dig.com and search for it, because we haven't got a link.
We didn't actually prepare for say that.
We'll put a link in the website.
Yeah, something up there.
But apparently the models are actually there. They're just locked.
Yeah.
It's really weird. It to me, I said this to you before you'd actually looked
at it. And I think I agree with you.
It's almost like, now this is a big cross, but it's a cross nevertheless.
It's a big cross, but yeah, you're right.
It's almost like a cross between Empire Earth 2, because the game engine to me, certainly on the land, feels
very,
very
similar.
Empire Earth 2-y. I have only played the demo of that though.
Is it feels Empire Earth-ish?
Yeah.
Not just two, but
the way
that
the zoom works and all of that just feels like Empire Earth, but it's also a cross between that and Dawn of War.
Warhammer Dawn of War.
Because of the reinforcements.
And the squad-based action.
The squad-based action, the sort of retreating from battle-y type things, the model motion of the characters, in the sense that, you remember on Dawn of War,
they're
when
all
you
individual.
Stopped, when you stopped, they would actually turn around. They wouldn't just like turn another direction.
Yes, yes.
And this is the same. They sort of slow down, turn around, sort of thing. That's quite cool. They run and shoot. Similar sort of thing to Dawn of War.
Yeah.
And also a cross between C and C, just in the way that the action is not very resource-based at all.
It's focused on the fighting.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool. The graphics are not what I thought they were going to be.
You've seen some of these videos, like of IGN
and
released,
the images,
and you're like, wow, that's a really nice-looking RTS game. It's not actually that good, is it?
When it's in motion and when it's actually on your screen... I had it ramped up to full settings, and maybe it's just the demo. They're not releasing it until February.
Or maybe we're expecting too much.
Maybe they only have the low textures in the demo. You know, maybe in the demo. Maybe they have the high textures in the actual thing. Who knows?
Maybe keep size down, perhaps.
But
I don't know.
It seemed that the graphics weren't as great as we thought they were going to be.
No, they were kind of lacking in some areas. I mean, the textures and everything were a bit poor.
But maybe they're going to improve them. But we don't know.
Yeah.
Also, the space battles—they're really cool.
They're
granted,
quite cool.
You can target specific systems on ships, which is really cool.
Which is, and it's also quite easy because they're easily visible.
Cross between Homeworld 2 as well, then.
Yeah, Homeworld 2 systems are so hard to target,
true.
Critical systems. I mean, don't get me wrong, the space battles in Homeworld 2 were amazing.
We
should do a review of that sometime, actually.
I mean,
it's so old.
Cinematic.
But it's really nice, but anyway, I digress.
But yeah, the space battles are cool, but the way that they move is typical sort of unrealistic movement.
Yeah, we both said this when we were playing it earlier. Like, the frigates aren't too bad, and the corvettes aren't too bad because they're quite big, and there's not many of them. But with the X-Wings and the Y-Wings, and then we were moving about, they were flying all over the place, unrealistically. Yeah. It didn't look good. They didn't, like, move in, like, formation, in, like, you know, squadron-based action, like in Homeworld 2, for example. It was just totally random, and it didn't look good at all.
Yeah, but we'll see when the final version comes out, obviously. I will be buying it, simply because I'm looking forward to it.
Well, it's going to, regardless of these kind of quirks we've got with it, it's still going to be an amazing game, I think.
Yeah, I will obviously wait to see IGN's review and, you know, GameSpot's review and so on. If they give them like 6 out of 10, then no, I won't buy it.
Mm.
But otherwise, I'm probably going to buy it because I like RTS.
Yeah,
Star Wars
and
RTS.
Star Wars, and we love Star Wars always. So
that's that. Got a little bit of newsy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this is just something we spotted on Dig, but we thought it was kind of funny and cool and amazing at the
and
same
Nintendo.
Time. And it's Nintendo. Basically, well, the title of it was Nintendo Takes a Jab at Microsoft. And basically, this is Reggie. If anyone doesn't know who Reggie is,
Reggie Fizem or whatever it is.
I don't actually know how you pronounce
like
it.
Or
it's, you
or
don't pronounce it how it looks.
It's not Fizem.
No, exactly. But Reggie, who's the vice president for Nintendo Sales Department of Nintendo of America, who's like basically the spokesperson for America, for all of Nintendo.
He's
now.
A really good. I don't know where they sort of fished him out from. I don't think they intended him to be such a sort of like an image.
Well,
icon.
He was in E3 2004.
Yeah,
and they just used him to introduce something, but he did it such a good job.
Like,
it was like, oh my god, Reggie's cool.
Yeah, oh my god, Reggie, we're using you now from now on.
Well, I think in Nintendo itself now, Reggie's like the second most identifiable person within
Along
Nintendo, apart from Shigeru Miyamoto.
Mm.
But basically, the story is about Nintendo saying that their revolution is going to totally own
Xbox 360,
and like it's just going to be much better because it's going to be cheaper, it's going to sell more, and their DS has sold more units in like 1 month or something than Microsoft has altogether so far with their Xbox 360s,
yeah.
Which proving that Nintendo is really killing Microsoft at the moment in the gaming market.
Well,
which is
certainly in that sort of sense.
Which is finally nice to see, because Nintendo's been seen as the underdog recently, hasn't it?
I mean, obviously this is kind of biased towards Nintendo, because
well,
Reggie
yeah, of course
saying,
we are. Basically, that's all it is. That's all the story was. It's just like Reggie saying, we're going to kick your ass, basically.
Go and check it out for some more detail.
Oh, we did do a tiny reel for
we
it.
We did.
tinyurl.com/... DL64V. That's tinyurl.com/DL64V.
Yep. We got some music now to separate our gaming section from our tech section. This is called Rock City Crime Wave by Black Furies.
Yep.
We kind of didn't know what music to include this week.
Neither of us had any, like, or, you know, things we wanted to put in.
Because you often come with sort of like, oh my god, this is really good. Like the last
Ultimate Showdown episode of Ultimate Destiny.
You were like, oh my god, we have to try and
have to put this in, yes, if we can.
So, but this was picked out from my could be music on podcast
possible podcast music, so it's pod safe, of course.
Yes, and we hope you enjoy it. Such a goddamn mess. thank you, Black Furies, for that song, Rock City Crime Wave. You can go and find out more about Black Furies at www.blackfuries.com.
Well, it's the first website address we've given out that isn't a tiny URL.
Yep, first URL so far, apart from our homepage, hamslifeinhex.com.
Yeah, that's obvious, though.
We didn't do a tiny URL for our own site. Anyway, we're moving on to our tech section now.
Yep.
Our technology. Well, it's actually more of a hacking section this
episode. I guess it is.
This episode.
Because, I mean, we're focusing on one main topic, yeah. Really, this episode,
I mean,
aren't we?
We do actually advertise that we have some hacking, and so it's about time that we got something in. So,
so it's techie section, really, but focusing on a hacking aspect of it.
This is our main section, really, isn't it?
Yeah, because, I mean, we decided upon this because it's been quite in the news recently, hasn't it?
It has. There's been a few things in the news, what with Ebombs World.
Ebombs World.
Million Dollar Homepage, which we mentioned in a minute.
And some other sites and everything.
So we're going to do a quick sort of discussion about DDoS, which is Distributed Denial of Service, or DOS in general. Well, not as in the disk operating system, but
Denial of Service attacks, etc.
So, first of all, well, DDoS, as I've just said, is a variation of DOS, which is denial of service. Essentially, a denial of service is what it says it is. You know, it is you are denying the service of a server to other people, or you're denying the use of a computer to someone, anything like that. There are basically three types, so to speak, of denial of service, but they're all merged into one, obviously. The main one that people generally use when referring to denial of service attacks is to use up all the resources of a computer or a system or a network.
So basically, eat its bandwidth.
Yeah, eat its bandwidth or use up its CPU, hard drive space by filling up the log, anything like that.
With the constant ping, packet sending.
An example of this is like the SYNAC flood, which is where you send a... I don't know whether it still works. Most things detect it now and don't allow it to take
to stop
place.
Stop it happening.
But a common thing was to send a SYN packet, which is a synchronized packet, a TCP synchronized packet, to a server, but with a forged IP address that doesn't actually exist. So it's an IP address that doesn't exist. So what will then happen is that this server, say it's a web server, will respond to that forged IP address saying ACK, as in I've acknowledged your, or SYNAC rather, that I've acknowledged your request to start the connection. But obviously there's no, it will then wait for a ACK response to say yes, I've acknowledged your acknowledgement. But if the IP address doesn't exist, it's got nowhere to go. And if you've got a bunch of computers doing that, the distributed section, then you will completely flood a web server's buffer.
It can't really operate properly.
It can't then genuinely respond to proper connections because it's got all these forged connections that it's trying to cope with.
And it can't. And then the server just basically dies.
Well, it doesn't necessarily
die, but it just goes out of action, so it can't actually do what it's intended to do.
Yeah, because no one else can actually get through to it.
Exactly.
The second and third ones are kind of merged, and they're kind of not so much... They're all merged into one, essentially. But the second way would be to disrupt or change configuration information. So, for example, if you were trying to denial DOS a router, you might change the configuration information so that all the routing tables are wrong.
Exactly.
And so, that anything that tries to connect...
Nothing works, basically.
Anything that tries to go through this router is like, well, it's going the wrong way or whatever. You try it in Google.com and it's like, oh, no, that doesn't exist. So that's a denial of service for... say four clients on a system, you might change the router doing that. The other third one is to damage or disrupt.
Now this you
components.
Have to actually physically be on the network.
Well, not
to
necessarily.
Do it.
You could, you know, send some sort of arbitrary signal to a thing and cause it to malfunction. It's possible.
Yeah, I guess.
Buffer
so.
Overflows. You could cause strange things to occur. So, but yeah, disrupting or damaging physical network components will obviously cause something to cease functioning and thus a denial of service.
But again, less of a denial of service what we're talking about. We're really going to focus on the first
the distributed stuff,
yeah.
Distributed denial of service, as opposed to a normal denial of service, involves using multiple computers.
Yeah.
Now, this has really exploded since more and more people have taken up broadband, DSL lines, and
it's
cable
not,
lines.
It's not been for the last, 5 years minimum?
Yeah, so ever since broadband took off, and, you know, as more and more people have got broadband...
Exactly.
Distributed denial of service attacks are becoming more and more popular, even.
And easier, too.
And easier, because obviously broadband is a lot more bandwidth than a simple dial-up connection, and so you can do a lot more damage off 20 broadband connections than you can off 20 dial-up connections. Basically, one computer probably can't take down a web server.
No,
you know, Microsoft.com or whatever.
Exactly. A web server is almost always going to have more
power
than
and
a
bandwidth.
Single computer.
So you sending 56 kilobytes of bandwidth to a server, that server's probably got, you know, 800 kilobytes or whatever. No, you know, I'm still
Well, you know what you're getting at in terms of ratio.
So that's
but
the sort
it's
of
just not never going to go. It's never going to do it.
So,
but of course,
but if you get a distributed denial of service, that involves using hundreds of computers,
if not thousands, if not hundreds of thousands,
and obviously that's going to make a lot of difference. This is usually done by compromised systems. So we're talking home computers that haven't got firewall or haven't got antivirus, and they've got a Trojan on them. And what the Trojan or virus or whatever will tend to do is connect up in some way to maybe an IRC server or send messages through email, anything like that, so that its owner, so to speak, of the Trojan or the botnet, which is the collective term for all of these compromised computers or zombie computers, can then send signals. So, for example, you can then send a signal saying, attack, blah, 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 give an IP address.
Exactly.
And you'll get loads of responses, and all these computers all over the world, potentially, are all going ding, 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 and sending a denial of service to this place.
So basically, if one black hat hacker really wanted to take something down, all he has to do is get a load of compromised systems.
Yeah, get basically
the average computer user who doesn't have a clue about internet security, compromise their system, and you make the botnet.
Yeah, I mean, you can go on to some, no doubt, I wouldn't know, but you can go on to some sort of undernet type things and probably actually borrow people's botnets.
Yeah,
I mean,
there's probably entire lists of botnets which you can use yourself.
A good example of this, it's a really good story, I don't know whether you've read it, is what happened to Steve Gibson's website at grc.com. if you go to tinyurl.com/b32bg, there's a really interesting story about some 13-year-old kid who happened to own a botnet. I don't think it was even his. I think it was the sort of borrowing a botnet from someone else who had a collection of them, and was denial of servicing grc.com, essentially.
What's GRC?
GRC is Gibson Research Corporation.
Right.
And it's basically just Steve Gibson, and he is absolutely uber, and he's done loads of stuff for security.
Really, is he cool stuff? Is he good?
Really cool stuff.
Cool car?
Really cool security stuff. You know the WMF vulnerability?
Yeah.
Did we talk about that?
Yeah, we did. It's the last episode.
He did a lot of stuff about that. In fact, recently he claimed that it was Microsoft to put a back door into Windows and done this on purpose.
Hmm.
But
so basically, he's like a really cool guy, but yeah, he got attacked.
Yeah, he got denial of service, as you do when you grow big. You know, you potentially get denial of service attacked. But yeah, it's a really good example story of this, especially the thing I was saying about IRC, Trojan connecting to an IRC.
Yeah.
And it's really cool reading Steve Gibson reverse engineering a Trojan and then like watching it connect up to this IRC channel and stuff. Oh, it was just, it's one of those sort of things that reads like science fiction or cyber fiction or something like
that.
Yeah,
I know you're getting it.
We were talking about the fact that this has been in the news recently. The million dollar homepage, milliondollarhomepage.com, was
made by a British guy.
It was made by a British guy, and that was attacked by someone.
No, it's under attack, really.
It's under attack, potentially. Is it still under attack?
Well, I'm not sure of the status at the moment, but not a week ago, really, an alleged Russian group is holding it for ransom, so to speak, by saying, if you don't pay us XX amount of money... they're saying if he doesn't pay them a certain amount
of
money,
they won't bring the site back up.
They will keep DDoSing it.
Mm. So yeah, you can go and have a look there. I mean, that's probably a distributed denial of service through a botnet.
Yeah, most likely.
In fact, if you are a little home noob user, you may well be part of a botnet and you may not know it.
Yeah, I mean, you might be sitting there right now on your computer, like, I don't know, listen to our podcast.
And your computer is DDoSing.
And actually, you yourself
are. For all you know, your computer may be DDoSing the million-dollar homepage right now.
Exactly, you don't know. So get some anti-spyware on yourself.
Yeah, get some anti-spyware.
Get a good firewall up, etc.
We ought to talk about security in that sort of sense sometime.
Maybe sometime we should talk about internet security, because, I mean, people take it way too lightly.
Mm. It's definitely a growing issue. There's also eBombs World, which was under attack.
I suppose I know more about this, because you really didn't look into this at all.
So go ahead.
Basically what it was, anyone who really understands kind of like the flash portals on the internet, you know, you've got flash portals like Newgrounds, which is probably the best in people's opinion, and other ones. You've got one called eBombs World, but eBombs World much quite hated by most people because they nick people's content.
Allegedly.
No, they do. It's obvious they do.
Right.
The evidence to support it does. And they nick people's content and claim it for their own. And one example was a website has made a Lindsay Lohan one, where basically it's just a moving picture with the music behind it.
See, because I thought this was really sort of
Did you see it?
Yeah, I had a look, and I was like, "What's the big deal? It's an animated GIF. I don't get it."
But no, it's the fact that they stole it and then altered the song on it to make it sound like Ebon's World have done it. And hackers are just getting pissed off by this. They're sick to death of them doing this. So basically, people have come together, a whole website's been made for it, off of it, and like saying, you know, Ebon die. You know, the guy Ebon, Eric Ebon die. And they come together and say, we've had enough of this, let's kill the site. And they're doing all sorts of cool stuff. Well, not cool stuff at all.
Black hat stuff.
But it's cool. It's cool in the sense of hacking stuff. It's cool that they, you know, what they're doing.
But it is black hat stuff.
It's still black hat stuff, which
is
illegal.
We do not approve of. We do not endorse any of this.
Oh, no, of course we don't. It's just that it's still cool, isn't it, when you think about it, what they're doing.
Yeah, but, you know, I morally, I don't think it's right.
Morally, it's not right. Technologically, it's critical. So they're doing this. They're trying to kill the site. They're doing DDoS is obviously, they're trying to actually hack the site itself, take it down. I mean, there's competitions going, for crying out loud. Who can hack Ebon's World first? Thousands of people coming to pervert, and it's really cool thing to watch and watch out for it. So if you're an Ebon's World user, you might be screwed soon.
You might well be.
If you're a hacker trying to hack Ebon's World, good luck, my friend.
Yes, but don't get caught.
No, of course.
Now you can also find some, means we're on the subject of black hats, you can find some black hat information at tinyurl.com/dp2y2, and that's a link to docdroppers.org and their article about I think it's taken from 2600.
Yeah.
It's taken from the 2600 magazine, and I think someone from the GDP wrote it. I think Stankdog co-wrote it.
I'm not sure. I didn't actually look into this issue really.
It just gives some a list of sort of the tools that you can use to distributed denial of service attack. Some site, obviously we don't endorse it, don't use it, use it on your own systems only for experimentation purposes.
Exactly.
But if you want to go and have a look there, DocDroppers is actually a really cool site. So yeah, that's basically it about denial of service.
If you've got any comments about that, if you want us to talk about it again maybe sometime, you've got experience in being attacked by a DDoS,
it would be really interesting actually to hear the process that people have gone through when, you know,
we were talking about it earlier, weren't we? Because DDoS really isn't just malicious stuff, it can happen in anything.
Yeah, that was our kind of joke, that a really good example of a DDoS DOS net, so to speak, a denial of service net, is all of the dig readers, or all of the slash dot readers.
Because like the word, you know, the dig effect, or you've been slash dotted.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, it's when someone gives you a link to a very popular website on these websites where thousands of people go.
And they all click on the link.
And they all do what's on the site, which people are going to see. Of course, this eats through people's bandwidth like in an instant. And some ISPs actually, or not just ISPs, you know, servers, hosting companies. Actually offer kind of like anti-dug effect, anti-slash-dotting effect.
They have in their terms and conditions, like, if you get dug or slash-dotted, we won't charge, you know, we'll charge you like £6 or something, and that's it. That's all we'll charge you.
If that, yeah. Basically, the hosting companies don't charge much if this effect happens, because you can't help it if you get dug or slash-dotted.
You can't help it if you get dug or slash-dotted, so they're not going to charge you for the 6 gigs of bandwidth or something that you go through every day for the next few days. But so that's about it as far as denial of service. It's uses and abuses. There are no uses of denial of service.
Not really.
It's abuses and it's accidental denial of service.
Yeah,
attacks.
Exactly. So yeah, that's it really.
That's about it.
If you enjoyed that, if you want to talk about other techie things, other things to do with that, email us.
show@lifeinhex.com.
Yes, of course.
You know what we forgot on the show notes?
What?
Plugs. Have you got any plugs?
Not really. Well, plugs to Sarah Michelle, who just plugged me.
Yeah, there we go. We just plug people who you are talking to.
Yeah, I'm college. So, hello, Sarah. Hello, Michelle. Looking forward to tomorrow. It's going to be cool. Tomorrow? Hang about. This is going to be Sunday, Tuesday.
Yeah, looking forward to
3 days ago.
2 days ago, yeah. But you're eating shortbread. That's why we just...
Strawberry-flavoured shortbread, apparently.
You wouldn't have noticed, but we paused the podcast and then continued, and so we just went down for dinner, and it was very nice.
Yes, it was nice, and now we're filling up on shortbread. Well, yeah. I am, at least.
Yeah, we're filling up on shortbread. I don't like the strawberry shortbread.
Yum, 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 yum.
Yum, 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 yum. If you would like some shortbread, email us at show@lifeinhex.com.
And Gelada's mum will send you some.
Yeah, well, that's a lie, actually. But
we won't really send you some, don't ask.
Go to Google Dean Shortbread. It's a... That's where that's from. It's from Scotland. That's actually fresh from... Well, not fresh, but it's actually from Scotland.
You're right, it just smells Scottish.
Yeah, smells Scottish.
Or Scotland.
So that's everything.
Yeah, we got any shouts, plugs, or websites though?
Think. Oh, people, go and check out my blog. I'm going to plug myself. Shameless self-promotion. Woo! Blog.dustydreams.co.uk. Well, just go to dustydreams.co.uk mm-hmm. and you can look at the rest from there. That's about it. It's kind of been a muddled episode.
That's about it from us, and we'll
hopefully
see you in Winteremus.
See you in Winteremus. Happy Winteremus, anybody probably just about to start your Winteremus celebrations if you're a
If you're into Winteremus, yeah.
Yeah, cad-comic.com, Winteremus.com.
Yeah, Winteremus.com if you're not too sure. That's winter, W-E-N, and then mus, you know, like Christmas.com.
Yeah.
It'll be on the site.
It'll be on the site, of course. And it's on my blog, blog.dustydreams.co.uk.
Self promotion.
Yep.
We'll be coming to you for Winteremus.
Yep.
So. Okay. Look forward to that, and that's
if
about it.
If we're not doing some solid gaming and have passed out from
too
gaming.
Much Special Forces yep. and Battlefront 2.
So this is really dragging out now, so I'm going to cut us out by saying this is Gelada.
And this is Sephron.
And we hope you enjoyed the show, and
happy Winteremus.
Happy Winteremus.
They obviously know that.
Well, you never know. Someone might go tinyworld.com/d9aww and go, hey, it's not working. At least we get an email.
Anyway, you links don't work.
You noob.
Do something. Ruffle the mail. Newbies.
Oh, my fucking god, baby Q hacks.
Hacks. Oh, my god, hacks.
Oh, no, that's good. One of those like advertisers like show at lifeandhex.com
that's show at lifeandhex.com
summer 71
batteries not included. And if you know about that and you agree with me that it's fucked up or you like it, email us at show at lifeandhex.com.
That's right.
But we love you.
Yes. But this is called Rock City Crime Wave. I've written Rock City Crime Wave.
Wow, it sounds like a real babe.
Good misspelt there.
I was going to say.
And so we hope you like it, and we will catch you back after this.
Yeah, I mean, hope you enjoy it.
Catch you back.
Should we do that again? Because that sounded quite shit. I mean, and then I go, hope you enjoy it.
Hope you enjoy it.
Bring your shortbread over.
That's right.
Shortbread comes.
Yep.
Have some shortbread.
What's up? Nothing, you know, I'm full up.
Are you? Oh. Yeah. I'm going to have some shortbread while I eat. Yeah. Eat. Oh.
Have you ever wondered how many times it takes us to do certain parts of the show? Here's a hint.
Basically, what it's about, a guy called Manica Junpei,
mm-hmm.
right? And... What are you laughing at?
I'm not laughing.
You are.
Did you? For the record, listeners, did you hear me laughing?
No, you're smiling.
I'm happy you're right.
You're laughing. You're laughing internally.
Am I not allowed to be happy?
You're laughing internally at me for like talking about the anime series.
Prove it. I can't. You stole the word right out of my mouth.
Okay. Basically, it's about this guy called Manica.
I really am laughing.
Why are you laughing at me? It's about... This is the third time I've done this. It's about... Fuck!
You mean...
I've got the giggles.
Ichigo review start, take four.
It's about this guy called Manica.
What are you doing? Ichigo review start, take five. Sephron, be serious. Hey, I got it in.
Oh. Okay. It's about this...
Stop it! We didn't got two words out of it that time. It's about...
Ichigo review. Take six.
Oh my god. We are very sorry, listeners, but Life in X has been cancelled. While we just take some oxygen.
Okay.
Is there an oxygen canister in the house?
Okay. Food. Oh, brain.